Here's a question for those who are trying to find their loved ones or have found their loved ones. How did you convince your partner to choose you? A lover boy said to a girl, "I'm the most excellent boyfriend you will have." And he was turned down. The lover boy asked, "What's wrong with you? I am a perfect man that every girl can dream of." And the girl responded, "You are just not my type, that's all." But still, he was not satisfied with the answer, so he asked again, "What's wrong with me? What is it that you do not like about me? I am handsome, and I have a stable job. What else can you ask from me?" She looked straight to his eyes and said, "You are arrogant. You are narcissist. You are insensitive. You are inconsiderate." Many individuals are attracted with the outward beauty, popularity, power, but there are admirable people who prefer character over physical appearance. You may have heard it said, beauty is useless. What's the next? Beauty is useless. Character is the best. As Christians, our standard should reflect our identity as children of God. Pertaining to the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it declares in 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, let's read together. "But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him." Now, the anointing of the Holy Spirit transforms us to have godly character. We do not do it on our own. We are not God. We can only be godly when the Holy Spirit inspire us, empower us. Our transformation then, as Christians, practically proves and it confirms the grace and power of God over our life. So we do not need to devise any clever stories to convince potential believers. We just tell them what happened to us, our personal experience. Let's read again verse 16. "For we did not follow cleverly devised stories when we told you about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in power, but we were witnesses of his majesty." Christ has personally chosen and practically revealed himself and his power to the original apostles that he personally chose. Apostle Peter was one of the 12 apostles that Jesus Christ personally chose. Most of the original apostles, they were ordinary people. Now think about that. Some are fishermen. Well, there are also perhaps educated, like Matthew, who was a tax collector, but I don't know if there was university for about collecting tax at that time. Our question is, did Christ choose ordinary individuals as apostles so that they would rely on the Holy Spirit instead of depending on their own experiences, depending on their education or their training? It's possible. Indeed, the original apostles had effectively, productively testified about their personal transformation after they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, not because of their eloquence. This is why they started testifying about the Holy Spirit when They were testifying about the work of God when, after they were filled with the Holy Spirit during the Pentecost. During the Pentecost, the Holy Spirit filled the apostles, including all the disciples who were with them at that time. Accordingly, there were 120 disciples, including the apostles at the time, that were filled by the Holy Spirit during the Pentecost. It narrated in Acts chapter 4, chapter 2, verse 4 to 12, or verse 4 to 8. Let's read. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language?" Now the apostles and the other disciples who were filled with the Holy Spirit spoke foreign language at that time, and the crowd was amazed. They were puzzled how those believers can speak foreign languages. It was not recorded if they, the disciples, traveled abroad or they went on studying foreign languages. It was not recorded in the Bible. Nevertheless, it did not also say that the practicing speaking foreign languages. Apostle Peter took that opportunity of amazement of those witnesses, or those who witnessed them, to testify about Jesus Christ. And he invited the crowd to repent and believe in Jesus Christ. If you want to know more about what Peter said during that time, you can continue to read on Acts chapter 2 in your own personal time. And people heard what he preached. He talked about Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And about 3,000 people repented of their sins, believed in Jesus Christ that day. They were included in their number, according to the Bible. To be effective, to be productive, when obeying the Lord, we need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. You might be wondering, when you are testifying to your friend, to your office mate, to your classmate, they just ignore you. Ask yourself, am I filled? Am I inspired by the Holy Spirit? That's the one thing that you would ask. If you were filled and still they won't listen to you, you would sense in your heart that joyful peace, knowing that you obeyed the Lord, you have peace. And maybe the Holy Spirit would assure you that it's not time yet for that person to believe in Jesus Christ. There's still time for that person, potential believer. We are commanded to witness for Christ. We are commanded to disciple believers and to be effective, to be productive. When we testify of the transformational work of Christ in our life, it is imperative, it is important, it is essential for us to seek inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Make sure of that. You would sense it when you are filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, because you have that enthusiasm to tell about your transformation. You know, we learned in the past the term enthusiasm comes from the word en theos in Greek, meaning with Christ or possessed by God, I should say. Theos is God, en could be translated as with or possessed. What transformation that Christ did in your life, would you tell others? What is it? Is there any transformation in your character, in your habit, the way you speak, the way you choose things? Or around, anywhere around the globe, there are political disturbances or economic crisis. Now, you might have heard about the news that one of the biggest banks in Silicon Valley had been bankrupt. Silicon Valley, where the billionaires live, where, I don't know, but it signals economic crisis somewhere. It is very easy to be confused. It's very easy to worry about the future. If those rich people are bankrupt, how much more the not so rich people? What do you think? Do you sense in your heart tranquility? Do you sense peace instead of worry about uncertainties of the future? Do you sense that? Do you have that peace? Or do you struggle with worry? Pray seriously. If you sense that struggle, worry, don't allow it to control you. Pray that the Holy Spirit reigns in your heart. Lord, I sense this struggle in me. I sense this worry. I don't want this. I cannot sleep with this. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I don't understand everything, but I would like you, Lord, to reign in my heart. Just keep on praying. Don't stop until you sense the peace of God. You may not understand everything, because the peace of God transcends over past understanding. King David testified about his personal knowledge of God in Psalm 20, verse 6 to 7. Now this I know. The Lord gives victory to his anointed. He answers him from his heavenly sanctuary with the victorious power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Now, if you've been observant or been reading about the story of David, whenever David go to war, he did not go and collect those chariots that they would win over their enemies. He would destroy those chariots. He would hamstring those horses. He collects some for personal use, perhaps, but not for going to war, because he trusts in the Lord whenever he went to battle. We pray that we don't need to go to war. We pray for godly wisdom. This is one thing that we are to pray. And I would appeal to you to pray for our government officials, that God would give them wisdom so that we may avoid international conflict. In most cases, we can still face personal battles even if we don't go to war. Do you expect to be victorious over the battle you're facing? Believers, we are anointed by the Holy Spirit of God. We trust that He will never leave us, He will never forsake us, so that we stand firm in Christ. Let's be reminded what He declared in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22. It is God who make us both, it is God who make both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. The Holy Spirit of Christ assures that Christ will take us into His heaven when He returns. Do you have that assurance? If Christ comes today or tomorrow or the next day or next year. The Holy Spirit of Christ, when He prevails in us, when He reigns in us, He removes the doubts in our minds. He also inspires us to delight in His word, in His instruction, so that we diligently obey Him as we wait for the return of Christ. Obey Him with gladness. How do you personally interpret what it teaches in Psalm 37, verse 4? Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Now think about this. Think about what you desire. Will God give the desires that cause us to neglect Him? Would God give us the desire that would cause us to forget Him? How do we explain this to others? To delight in the Lord is to trust in Him. We don't force ourselves to do that. We don't force ourselves to trust in the Lord. It is by faith we trust in the Lord, right? And the practice of faith is to delight in the Lord, to trust Him. By faith, He gives us the desire of our heart so that we delight in what? In Him. How do we delight in Him? We obey Him. By faith we delight in the Lord, and we desire to testify of His love. We testify of His grace. We testify of our personal experience with Him. Our transformation. There's enthusiasm for us to tell when people ask us, "What's wrong with you?" Or "What's with you? Why do you act differently?" And you would say, "Christ transformed me." What is that? And then you keep on explaining. When the right time comes, you would be facing that opportunity to testify of God's transformation. So be very prayerful. Ask the Lord always to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. Let's read again verse 17. He received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory, saying, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." That's pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ. The term "well pleased" is properly translated as delighted, approve, take pleasure, relish, have gladness, or have high regard of. By godly standard, God said, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased. I am delighted in Him. I approve Him. I take pleasure in whatever He does. I relish everything. I have gladness and high regard of Him." That is what it means. When He said, "This is My Son whom I love, with Him I am well pleased," that declaration from God was heard verbally, audibly, by those who assembled to be baptized by John the Baptist. It was recorded in Matthew chapter 3, verse 16 to 17. As soon as Jesus was baptized, He went up out of the water, and that moment, heaven was opened, and He saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on Him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is My Son whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." Now, if you go to the internet and look for pictures or artist illustration on how the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, some would have drawn that John the Baptist took a scooper and scoop of water and pour it on the head of Jesus Christ. That's how they illustrated it. But look at that. This is how you would interpret how the Lord Jesus was baptized. In verse 16, it says, he went up out of the water. Up out, meaning he was down underwater, so that he would, you cannot go out the water if you are not down under the water, meaning he was immersed. And the word baptized comes from the Greek word baptizo, which means immersed or submerged. That is the meaning of baptism, not sprinkling. God did not declare in private that he delighted with Jesus Christ. God had chosen that very moment when many people were there to be baptized by John. Why is that? Those who repented their sins wanted to be baptized by John the Baptist. They were potential believers of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. Apostle Paul preaches in Acts chapter 19, verse 4. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. And the same similar phrase was testified by John the Baptist in Mark chapter 1, verse 7 to 8, when he said, after me comes the one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, this has become an issue among many believers. There are confusion among interpreters. How should we explain about the baptism of the Holy Spirit to a child, to potential believers? How do we explain that? The term baptism is translated immersed, submerged, completely washed. It comes from the Greek term baptizo. To be baptized by the Holy Spirit then is to be fully washed, because baptism meaning completely washed. So when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, we are fully washed from sin. How do you compare washing of sin or to be baptized by the Holy Spirit? Here is how the Lord invites us in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. That is how the Lord forgives us when we are baptized by the Holy Spirit, when he cleanses us. How does faith in Christ activate then? How do we express our faith in Christ? When we put our faith in Christ, we could sense the necessity to repent of our sin. Why do we need to repent if we have faith in Christ? We cannot just say, I believe in Christ. No, before you can truly say, genuinely say that you believe in Christ, first you would sense that you are not acceptable before God because of sin, and you want to repent of that sin. We acknowledge that Christ is perfect, and sin prevents us from trusting him completely. If there's sin in us, we just cannot say, I trust the Lord, because that sin is trying to prevent us from trusting the Lord. After we sincerely repent of our sins, the Holy Spirit of Christ inspires us to completely trust in Jesus Christ as our Lord. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, he would say, I trust in the Lord. He inspires us to say that in our life. So there's life transformation in us. that practically proves that Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit of Christ reigns in us, that the Holy Spirit has washed us and baptized us. Let me emphasize that. First and foremost, faith in Christ, it triggers us, it sparks, it causes us to sense that sincere repentance. We would like the Lord to cleanse us totally. We sense that we want to be cleansed totally to be acceptable before God. Why? Repentance is agreeing that our whole being, our whole self is sinful and useless before God. God cannot use anything that is useless. God cannot use anything that is sinful. God would use anything not acceptable to Him. And sin is not acceptable to God. And we need His forgiveness. Forgiveness that we accept that we are not worthy before God in our own human capacity. We want the Lord to use us according to His will. We sense that reverent fear. We respect God, that God is holy, that God is perfect, and we are not. God is love. Many people heard that. We preach that. We tell others, God is love. So why should we sense reverent fear before God if God is love? Now think about this. Have you ever had a scary moment? Have you been scared of the dark when you were younger? Or scared of heights? Or scared of darkness? Scared of being alone? Scared of anything? Sickness? Old age? Pandemic? Layoff? What else? What are you scared? Are you scared about dark schemes of bad elements, economic crisis, or the future? What is it that you are scared? Most of the time, when you are scared, what do? We run away, right? We run away from what scares us. You don't like to go, "Oh, I'm scared. What's that?" No, you don't do that, right? You turn your back and run away because you don't even want to look at that scary thing, right? In comparison, reverent fear of God is to be scared. This is what we are scared of, that God turn His back to us. That is what we are scared of. When we have reverent fear of God, we are scared that He will ignore us, that He will not listen to our prayers, that He will leave us alone. Or when Christ returns, we are scared that we may be left behind. That is reverent fear of God. Reverent fear of God, it causes us not to run away from the Lord, but to be acceptable to Him. We want to do whatever we can for us to be acceptable to God, and to have that reverent fear of God is the work of His Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit who inspires us to have that reverent fear of God. In his letter, Apostle Peter talked about his departure, possibly his death. Peter was arrested. He was sentenced to death together with other believers. They were accused of burning the city of Rome. And Peter used his last moment on earth to testify how God the Father reveals and divulges the majestic glory of Christ. In verse 18 it says, we ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. With hope in Christ, Peter faced death peacefully because he personally heard it when God the Father divulged, verbally told them about Jesus Christ. Apostle Peter was not an eloquent preacher. He just told what he personally experienced. He practically exemplified how we should witness for Christ. That is how we witness for Christ. We do not need to be a very eloquent preacher to witness for Christ. We just tell what happened to us. So it is very necessary to look at ourselves. Who am I in the past? Who am I today that I believe in Christ? What happened to me? What transformation happened to me that I would tell other people that Christ had done in my life? That is one thing that you would tell people. The way you speak, the way you think, your character, your choices, what are they? We should tell about how God revealed himself, his power, his love for us. Do you truly believe that it's the Lord who bless you to experience what you are experiencing right now? It was recorded in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 6. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. Face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then, there appeared before them Moses and Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. Now look at the bright sun. Bright sun. No, we cannot see it. We are inside the building, right? Just the light of the sun. That is how shiny the face of Jesus Christ was when he was at the mountain. And then there appeared Moses and Elijah. How did Peter recognize Moses and Elijah? Moses and Elijah died thousands of years. Maybe Jesus said, hey, this is Moses, this is Elijah. Oh, Moses, Elijah. Oh, we can stay here. Peter said, I will build shelter if you want, Lord. He did not know what he was saying. He was just amazed. And God the Father said, listen. Listen to my son. This is my son whom I love. Why did the disciples fell face down to the ground? The disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground. They did not fell face down when they look at the shining face of Jesus Christ. But when the voice of God they heard, they were terrified. Why were they terrified when they heard the voice of God? Isn't that awesome moment to hear the voice of God? He said, wow, what was that? I think it's the voice of God. But no, they sensed that reverent fear of God. That's how we show respect to God. We bow down, we worship Him. We are scared to see His face, but we just want to praise Him. Do you believe that God revealed His will and plan to believers? He chooses to personally understand Him. Let me ask that again. Can you believe that God chooses believers who can understand Him? He chose believers to reveal His will and not to unbelievers. The Word of God, the Bible says, do not return to Him without any produce or any fruit. Whatever the Lord says, it happens. When He speaks, He wants believers to hear it very clearly because He knows that believers will obey. Believers are obedient. Do you believe that? Do you believe that believers are obedient? To believe is to obey. We don't say we believe and we don't obey. Maybe you understand, but you do not believe. You don't obey. Peter, James, and John were privileged to hear very clearly from God. At that time, they were chosen, only three of them. Jesus Christ did not call the 12 disciples to go with Him, only the three of them. And there was even an instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't tell this experience until I am resurrected, glorified. So they did not even tell the other disciples until Jesus Christ returned to heaven. That's the time because others may not have believed if they tell them what happened. So to avoid that, they waited for the filling of the Holy Spirit, because only when we are filled with the Holy Spirit that we believe the Word of God. Now, before Apostle Paul became Apostle of Christ, what was the name of Apostle Paul? Saul. Apostle Paul was formerly known as Saul. Saul was on his way to Damascus to arrest Christians, and then Christ called him from heaven. It narrated how Saul personally heard it clearly in Acts chapter 9, verse 3 to 7. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, fell to the ground, and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Only Saul saw the light, bright light. Only Saul heard clearly what Jesus Christ told him. His companions, they heard the sound, but they did not understand what Christ told Saul. Why? Listen carefully. When God speaks to us personally, we can hear Him clearly, but others cannot. You heard stories about church attendees when they hear sermons say, oh, how I wish my neighbor is here to hear this wonderful sermon. Did you hear that joke before? They use that joke to preach to church attendees who do not obey the Lord. Do not miss the blessing of God. If God wants to speak to that neighbor, He would do so. When you hear that message from God, it is you who heard it very clearly. You are blessed because God wants you to receive His blessing if you obey. God blesses believers who obeys Him. When we obey God, we practically experience more of His love, more of His grace. And what we experience, that is what we tell others. That is what we exactly tell how God transformed us. We pray that the Lord inspire us with His Holy Spirit to listen carefully when He speaks. Let's stand up and ask the Lord to fill us with His Holy Spirit so that we may hear Him when He speaks to each of us very clearly. Shall we pray?